We need to begin by trying to be free and open, to have an inner freedom about the various possibilities that are there, not to rubbish some of them and say, I'd go for the other ones because that'll make sure I keep my pension or something like that. So there's that basic openness that I want to do the best. If I'm a Christian, I'll be saying I want to do whatever God wants. But if I'm not, I still want to do the best. And then there's the gathering of the data, which of course can take years if you're doing social surveys and whatnot, or the financial implications of this or that decision. And then that we try to listen to one another. So I was having a chat at lunch yesterday in regard to what way can we rightly commemorate 1916. And there were all kinds of views about 1916. And unless all those stories are somehow taken into account, the resulting decision or decisions will be that little bit inadequate or unfair perhaps to people who have a minority point of view, but from their point of view it's totally valid. And then that when we're coming towards if one is a Christian, one looks at the gospel values and say, where does this option or that option best fit the dynamics of the gospel? If one isn't a Christian, well, then one doesn't have that criterion to work on. Then
they may be concerned about the good of humankind,
totally,
or making things,
yes,
better.
My brother's a humanist, and we discuss these issues at length. For him, justice is an absolute. He doesn't need God, if you like, to say to him, you know, Ray, you've got to watch justice. He's into justice. He reads the papers, he is concerned about what way people suffer and endure bad decisions. So one of the strategies then that one can use in order to become freer is that you pick up the option, whatever it might be, and you say, let's all together try to give the arguments in favour of that option, even though I might be against it. And when all of that is done and tabulated and put up on the wall, you do the same in regard to the opposite, the not doing of the thing. And this builds a common ground among the people. So you take, how shall we celebrate 1916? You try to listen to everyone, get everyone looking for the arguments in favour of doing this, that or the other, and then the arguments on the other side. And then there's the process which, if one is in the Christian and the Ignatian mode, one is talking about the consolation or the desolation, that's the kind of terminology Ignatius uses. Does this bring me a sense of peace, authenticity, a sense of rightness, even though it might be painful to do, even though it may be costly? Or does it leave me with the sense of blah, and there's no energy in this, and how can I go home to my wife and talk to her and tell her what we decided at a political meeting, for instance? So trying to notice that. Ignatius and the believer would say that that's the drawing of God towards what is right and good, and the other is not. Whether you call it the bad spirit is another day's work.
So it's not just about the head, your feeling, your gut is important here too.
Oh, yes, your emotions come into play very, very much. If you think of a parent or parents wondering, should they ask their child to leave home because he or she is creating terrific problems for the other children, all the emotional tangle that goes on there and how to become free enough to do what seems to be best, or to decide to do nothing, which is a decision itself and perhaps the right one in some cases.
You yourself went through a tough decision, and you outline in the book, and it's a very interesting part of the book, how you came to using the discernment steps you talk about, or the making good decision steps. And that was when you were asked to go to Somalia, when it was a very dangerous place for Christians and for religious of any kind.
Yes, it was quite a revelation to myself about what went on. I had been working pretty hard, as a perfectionist would, for 7 years in a job, and then my superior said, you need to take a break. So he said, you know, whatever is most helpful to you. I decided to go to the Philippines because I was interested in liberation theology and what was going on there. So halfway through my deliberation on that, the provincial came by and he said, by the way, are you interested in refugees? So I hadn't thought about refugees at all, but the general of the Jesuits, Pedro Arrupe at the time, had decided that he would set up what he called the Jesuit Refugee Service, which meant that Jesuits should be available to leave the jobs they were in and go off and accompany refugees wherever those situations would break out. So I said, well, yes, and what does that mean? Well, he said, I've just had a request from Somalia to send somebody out there who would live in Somalia and try to see whether the authorities would allow the person to stay as a priest or not. What had happened was all the priests had been expelled except four. And as a result of that, the sisters who were doing all kinds of good work in Somalia, in clinics and schools and leprosaria and this kind of thing, they were deciding to go away because there were no priests to look after them. So, but the provincial said to me, well, you decide, you know, I leave you totally free and you make the decision. Now, my drift would be, you know, do the better thing, even if it's the more demanding thing. But there was another side beginning to come through, especially from my friends, saying, you're useless when it comes to heat and this place is on the equator. You're liable to be popped into prison. That can include getting killed. And it seems a funny way to finish off your life.
You were like the human guinea pig being sent out to see how will they react to me.
Very, very like a guinea pig. So I thought about it and prayed about it and said, you know, well, what is the best decision to make in this case? How much do I care about the needs of the Somalis who are in a dreadful state even at that time, and it got worse? And slowly something grew in me saying, you know, life is not the most important thing in the world. The most important thing is to be truly loving and truly helpful to those around or those most in need. So take a chance on it. And I made that decision and told them I'd go. And then what happened next was I got as far as Rome, and I was not far from getting the plane to go from Rome to Mogadishu, which is the capital of Somalia, when I got news that my sister-in-law had died tragically. So I came all the way home in order to look after the funeral. And that left me wondering, well, is God trying to say something to me about not going? And I tried to work that through, and still there was a sense of peace and rightness and appropriateness, even though I was scared to death of heading out, and also of leaving my family behind and the children. And anyway, I decided to go. I went out to Somalia. I stayed there for 3 months. What good I did, I do not know. But all I know is that I survived, is one, and I was also very much changed interiorly by coming to understand what it's like to live at the bottom of the human pyramid. And that's been good for me for the last 30 years. As for Somalia, it fell apart within 3 or 4 years after that, and so any work that I would have done would have come to nothing. So. Yeah.
So the change was within you. And I think Father Arrupe had just had a stroke when you went to Rome, and he said something to you just before
yes,
you left.
Yeah. Well, when I got to Rome the second time, I was asked, would I like to meet with Pedro Arrupe, who had had a stroke after he had set up the Jesuit Refugee Service. So there he was, lying on a couch and looking absolutely dreadful and unable to say much at all. So somebody explained to him what Grogan was up to. And he raised a skinny and trembling hand and he yelled out, go! And all I can say is that I went. And that kept me going in difficult times, that somebody else in authority who would have understood and would have done it himself was saying to me, go, risk your life, let it be. And that's how it worked out.